It's impossible to do what? Please him. So if I don't have faith, if I don't have my assignment, if I don't have my instructions, how can I please him? See, that's just like us. Somebody, we ask somebody to do something for us, and they do something else. And we come back and we all frustrated. We all mad because they just simply didn't do what we asked. So it wasn't no benefit to us. That's the same way God feels. Whenever we don't properly apply our faith or our assignment, it frustrates him. Because now he has to go find somebody else to do what you were called to do. Are you seeing this? So we see that we have to look at our faith as not as just a tool to get what we want. It has to be a tool used to accomplish the will of God. Are you seeing this? In 1 Peter 2:9, tonight we're going to go into chapter 4, which is the church in all her fullness, because this author does an excellent job in explaining, giving us an explanation. We've been walking through chapters 1, 2, and 3, and we get to chapter 4, and we start to see why those first three chapters are important, why we need to understand who we are in Christ, why we need to understand how God communicates with us, how we have to have a revelation in order for us to be in the kingdom of God. It can't be something we just do. This is something you have to do. Listen to me carefully now. This is something you have to do. And if you don't, and a lot of times because of the old way we've done church, because of religion, a lot of us don't make this shift. We have to make a shift from having, from being self-centric or self-centered with why we have a relationship with God to being God-centric about our relationship with Him. And let me explain what I mean by that. Every last one of us came to God because we needed something. Every last one of us. Some of us, it may have been a dark hour we were in. For some of us, it may be just conviction got on us and we realized we were missing something. Something was missing our life. But the only reason why you accepted Christ as your Savior is because you realized you needed something. That's everybody. There's nothing wrong with that. But in the process of you becoming born again and beginning to mature as a Christian, listen to me, Internet, you beginning to mature as a Christian, there must be a change from having a self-centric relationship with God to having a God-centric relationship with Him. Am I making sense? In other words, when I go to God, it's not what God can do for me. It should be, God, when I come to you, I just want to know what I can do for you. Because Matthew 6:33 explains it. If we do what pleases Him, He's going to add all these things to it. Hebrews 11:6. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Are you seeing this? So you have to make the transition, see, from having a self-centric relationship with God to having a God-centric, meaning centric, your sin is center. God is the center. Instead of me being in the center, and I'm only coming to church to get my word, to meet my need. I'm only talking to you because I need something. God, I'm only giving because I want to receive. Do you give to receive? Yes. But if that's your number one priority for giving, then you're already telling God that as soon as I give what I want, I ain't going to do it no more. So it must become a God-centric relationship that we have with our Father. Are you seeing this? So in understanding that, we must understand why would God fill us up with Himself? Why would God, we talked about we want to bind things on earth, we want to loose things on earth, we want the keys of the kingdom, but in order for us to get the keys of the kingdom, there must be maturity. If there is no maturity, then we can't be walking around here with power with no maturity. Because I talked about, it was funny, but I talked about last week, somebody pull out in front of you in your car, and you're not at your best that day, you're going to zap them. Lord, move the car out the way. Zap out the way. So it must come, you must have a level of maturity before that power is unleashed on you. So we must understand, what's God's purpose for this ability that He's given us? Why has God anointed me? Why has God attached me to this person? Why has God done this? Why he do this? Why he moved this way? Why he said this? Why he used this person? We must begin to understand his reasoning for doing things. Because when we begin to understand his reasoning for doing things, we can easily find our place or where we're supposed to be. Am I making sense? So here it is in 1 Peter, the second chapter, 9th and 10th verse. I didn't turn to my Bible. I'm going to read out the book. I'm not sure if it's New King James Version, but I'll read it and you can keep up and catch along. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Watch this. I think it's a little bit different. A people for God's own possession, so that ye may proclaim the excellencies of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remember now, it must change from a self-centric relationship to a God-centric relationship. So there's a reason you thought you needed him, right? But God really was calling you all the time because he needed you. Are you seeing this? He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Are you seeing this? So here it is. We must understand the church and how we are to represent God in his fullness in the earth realm. Are you seeing this? The only way we can represent God in his fullness is if we find out what he wants. See, it can't be, no, see, once you begin to realize that I must have a God-centric relationship with him, with our Father, rather than a self-centric relationship with the Father, then you begin to understand how we're going to relate to each other. Then I promise you, when you change into having a God-centric or relationship with the Father, you will understand your pastor better. Because there's a difference between, we're going to get into this later on in the year, today's pastor and a New Testament pastor. Today's pastor is more concerned about your needs. When a New Testament pastor, when Peter and them all started the church, they were more concerned about your inner needs. Because if we get that straight, so you, once we begin to understand that my pastor, even though we've explained it like this, my pastor, my leader, my apostle is there to serve God. All right? And I'm there to assist him in serving God. So no longer do I need to put demands on him to try to fulfill my needs. Because when I help him or her fulfill what God is calling them to do, then God now is responsible for fulfilling all our needs. Are you seeing this? We are to express God here in the earth realm. We are to express his excellency. We are to express his powerfulness. We are to express his beautifulness in the earth realm. That cannot happen until we shift from having a self-centric relationship with the Father. Listen to me, Internet. Shifting from a self-centric relationship with the Father to having a God-centric relationship with him. God is using the ministry gifts to bring the church into full maturity so that every individual part is working properly and every joint is supplying, causing growth of the whole body. Are you seeing this? The church is fellow heir to the throne. I'm going to read a little bit because I want you to get something. I know you can read, but I want to go over this because I need to make sure that you all see this so you can understand this. Look, I'm on page 38, and I'll be skipping around, and I may expound on some stuff. The church, on page 38, the church is the fellow heir to the throne, fellow members of his body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ. All that God began in Christ will and must ultimately be fulfilled through his church. So whatever Jesus has started, God is expecting us to fulfill it. So wait a minute. Now, see, this is where we get an issue at. So if I have a self-centric relationship with the Father, then I'm not going to really be too concerned about fulfilling what God wants in earth realm. I'm only be concerned about carrying out, living my 120 years. God, I'm only be concerned about what I can get during my 120 years. And then when it's all said and done, I'm going to get my mansion in heaven. When that's not even the purpose of why you're here. Are you seeing this? This is the church will manifest the fullness of God as did Christ on the earth. Paul revealed how the saints are coming together, having been birthed by the Spirit as a family on earth, carrying and expressing the nature of the Heavenly Father. Are you seeing this? Referring, keep expressing the expressing the Heavenly Father. Go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Watch this. Go to verse 17. Very familiar scripture, because this is about to see this in a different light now. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may he give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. Remember now, in order to walk in the kingdom, you're going to have revelation. This is not something you're going to be doing in the natural. It can only be done in the spirit. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of, so you always read this wrong, of his inheritance in the saints. So that's not talking about your inheritance. It's talking about his, God, his inheritance. There's some things that God has put on the inside of you that he's looking to reach down in you and pull out. But he can't pull it out if we don't mature. He can't pull it out if our thought pattern, if our focus don't shift from being self-centric to being God-centric. See, if your mind is on what God can do for you, then when God speaks to you about doing something for him, you ain't going to move because you're trying to figure out, you're trying to work it, you're trying to use your faith, you're trying to confess your way out of what God can do for you. Are you saying this? And all along, God is saying, the way to get me to do something for you is to simply do what I'm asking you to do. You have need of patience. That after, Hebrews 10:36, after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. And I asked the Lord, I said, why would you put you might receive the promises? Watch this now. He said, because if you don't have any desires, you can do the will of God and not get nothing. Because if you desire nothing, God don't give you that desire. See, so nothing wrong with desire. Nothing wrong with wanting the best. It's just we can't follow the world system way of how they attain it. There's a different way that God has set up for us to attain those things. And when we attain them, there'll be enough maturity in us that those things won't have us. I can still receive what God wants me to have, and I will maintain my level of commitment to him. Are you seeing this? So that the eyes of your understanding being like, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his, of the glory of the success of his inheritance in the saints. What is God's inheritance in you? Are you seeing this? So if I don't become God-centric, that means I won't let God dig out what needs to be dug out. I won't let God break up crust that needs to be broken up. If I'm only concerned about what I can get. How many see what I'm saying? Go back with me to, well, you write down Ephesians. Go to Ephesians, the third chapter. Watch this. The Holy Spirit, on page 30, I want you to see this, because if you have to underline this, underline this, because it's important. The Holy Spirit will strengthen our inner man according to the riches of his glory and with the strength of his might. Our inner man will be able to comprehend with other saints, what is heavenly in the spirit realm. What is intangible and invisible is given dimension when we connect accurately with one another. There's some things that you're not going to figure out until you connect to where you need to connect, and to connect to who you need to connect to. What cannot be understood will now become revealed and be plain to all. What is empty can become filled to all its fullness. What is impossible to do will now become a natural occurrence. The unusual will become usual. The impossible will become possible. This is powerful. The invisible will become visible. The invisible will become visible. What you couldn't see before, you'll be able to see it once you connect properly. Now watch this. Go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I'm sorry, the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. Watch this. Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 16. Let's start at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is Paul talking now. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love. May be able to comprehend with, now I want you to catch this, may be able to comprehend with what? All saints. Are you seeing this? With all saints. Let's just see, so watch this. If I have a self-centric relationship with God the Father, then that means, watch this, that means if I have a self-centric view of God and relationship with God, that means I ain't trying to worry about if anybody else comprehend. I just make sure I understand. And we're going to get into it, but we're going to see in the sixth chapter of Genesis that those people that were building the Tower of Babel, they really wasn't talking one language. They were many languages, but understood each other. See, just wasn't one, they had one idea, but it was many languages, like Spanish, whatever. But when they talked, one would be talking English, one talking Spanish, but they understood each other. And we're going to see that the only way that can happen is by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of understanding has to take place. So the only way the Spirit of understanding can take place is when a group of people have come together and have come together without a self-centric relationship with the Father. So that means when I come to church, I'm not just coming to church to get my word. God, I'm coming to see what you want to say to us. What instruction you have for us to do? God, because when you speak through your man or woman of God, you're talking to us and giving us instructions. It's not me coming to church to get my word when I'm really not concerned if my sister got a word. And I'm really concerned my brother got a word. Are you seeing this? This is where the culture of honor is so important. Because if my brother falls, I fall. If my sister fails, I fail. So now I got to surround that brother and sister until, watch this, until they have the ability to recover themselves. Because here, watch what it says now. Watch what it says. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Love. Why? That ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. God is bringing, page 39, the second paragraph. God is bringing his church into this dynamic synergy that will release upon her the power to finish strong and bring the accurate execution of his will on the earth. Are you seeing this? I'm on page 40. The church must discover this inner dynamic by being built accurately according to the apostolic blueprints. This is why Apostle Thompson class is so important. Understanding about the resistors. Understanding about breakthrough Christians. Understanding what an apostle is. An apostle is just not a sent one, as we've been told. An apostle, when they say he's been sent or she's been sent, there's a purpose why he or she was sent. That was to structure heaven to earth government. We talked about it, I'm going to say this example over and over again, but Paul was the one that structured salvation. Jesus laid the foundation. Paul structured it. Because every last one of y'all got born again off Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. We were explained about what Jesus had done with John 3:16. But we didn't know what to do until we got to Romans 10 chapter verses 8, 9, and 10. That was Paul structuring heaven to earth government of how people will enter to the kingdom of God. Think about this. Even, listen to me, this apostolic governing that God has established is important. Jesus himself yielded to the apostolic. Even though he was the one that laid the foundation that no man could lay. He told John the Baptist, it's time for you to baptize me. John the Baptist said, oh, no, it should be you baptizing me. Jesus turned around and said, no, you need to baptize me so that all scriptures can be fulfilled. So that's Jesus, the man who knew no sin, who was perfect in all his ways, submitted to the apostolic governing of God his Father. Are you seeing this? So the church must discover this inner dynamics of being built accurately according to the apostolic blueprint. On to chapter 5, people connectivity. Now there's a word in this first paragraph that's going to be the crust. It's going to be the glue that holds everything together. Because if you don't understand this, you're going to have problems. Now, some of you are in here, some things are going to be rearranged. I hope nobody get mad with me. But there's some things that we've been doing religiously that's going to be jacked up, torn apart, that's going to be broken down so that we can really understand what it means to be apostolic, what it means to be in covenant, what it means to all the saints, when we comprehend with all saints, what is the breath, death, and height. What it means when it says all saints, because I can't go by myself. You can't go by yourself. We have to go together. Are you seeing this? Very first statement. Though the church is positionally sanctioned, saw stations, I meant to say, for victory, the reality is somewhat discouraging with the missing ingredient being the rules of engagement within the house. The rules of engagement. What it means, the rules of engagement. There has to be in any organization, there has to be rules that are established that allow everyone to achieve the same results. This is why our country, the United States of America, this is one of the reasons they misunderstand what rules are for. Rules are really to make it where everybody have the same opportunity. But because we human and we within ourselves are incorrect from jump, we need God to make us righteous. So when we start trying to make rules, we make rules that leave certain people out, bring certain people in, stop certain people doing things, and create unfair advantages. But in the house of God, every rule that is established so that everyone can achieve the full potential that God had designed and destined for them to receive and to reach. So when we begin to talk about rules of engagement, I want you to shift your mind from thinking about control to now you're being set free. Let me give you a rule of engagement. Give you a rule of engagement. It's powerful. Very rule. Let me give you the rule of engagement. The very first rule of engagement there ever was, when God created Adam and Eve, he told them, you can eat off any tree. This is the internet. This is good. Any tree in this garden. But you cannot eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was a rule of engagement. Now, why was the rule of engagement there? The rule of engagement was there to push them into freedom. Because God wasn't holding them back from doing anything. Because watch this now. If Adam and Eve wanted to learn about evil, All they had to do was go ask God. And they'd have learned it in the proper perspective. Because they're going to have to learn about it. Why did they have to learn about it? Because, golly, thank you, Holy Spirit. Remember now, Eve was not covering the whole earth. If Eve was covering the whole earth, then God had nowhere to expel Adam and Eve. So because Eden wasn't covering the whole earth, the purpose of Eden was for God to train them on how to do what he did, then he was going to release them into darkness to reduplicate what he had already done. That's why he said be fruitful and multiply. It wasn't talking about having kids alone. It was talking about what you see here, what you're going to learn here. I'm going to loose you into the darkness, and I want you to rebuild the wasteland. Are you seeing this? So there had to be rules of engagement. If we're going to have interaction, these are the rules that have to be laid down. Now, when God lays down rules of engagement, it is not bondage. It is only freedom. So we have a skewed understanding of what rules do. Because we live in a country full of rules, full of laws. So laws say you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. No. What God is saying, when he laid down rules of engagement, and especially the rules of engagement in a house, in an apostolic house, what he's saying is, I'm positioning you so that you won't fall into the trap to where you will bound yourself. See, Adam and Eve bound themselves. Because if they wanted to know about evil, they was with the one who kicked Satan out of heaven. They could have found out about evil from him. Am I right? What that rule, see, watch this now. Here's the thing. Whenever you face rules of engagement, this is why the culture of honor is so important. Whenever you face the rules of engagement, you have a choice. You have a choice. Listen a minute, you have a choice. Adam and Eve made a choice. And I'm quick to say this. I believe there was something lying dormant already in Adam and Eve for them to even entertain what Satan was saying. I don't know if it was pride, ego, or what it was, but something was already lying dormant for him to come with a lie and get them to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Are you seeing this? See, rules of engagement. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. So when the Spirit is present and rules of engagement are presented, I want you to begin to understand that this is not to control me. This is to catapult me to freedom. See, the only reason why God created the Ten Commandments was because the children of Israel didn't know that they were binding themselves up. They didn't know they were doing wrong. But just because you don't know you're doing wrong and you're doing it don't mean you won't suffer the consequences. See, here's another thing about the culture of honor. Everybody has a choice. You can do what you want to do. I mean, you can do what you want to do. But also remember that if you can do what you want to do, you also going to have to suffer the consequences or the results from what you did. That's not just bad, that's also good. If you do what's right, you'll be rewarded with what's right. If you sin, consequences got to come. Are you seeing this? Rules of engagement. Watch this. The operational rules for the leadership, the people, and the operational system and the primary assignments with the other goals and activities are often vague and blurred. So this is one of the things we're going to make it clear, the rules of engagement. We're going to make it clear. This whole book is going to be about. We're going to make it very clear. And watch this. It's not about do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. That's not what it's about. We're going to learn, understand what covenant is. And once we begin to understand what covenant is, the rules of engagement will be self-explanatory. Rules, let me explain. What are rules of engagement? It's for lack of a better word, the rules are how we're going to engage each other. How we're going to interact with each other. How are we going to treat each other? How are we going to handle situations with each other? See? First of all, culture of honor teaching us a one rule of engagement is I'm not kicking my brother when he's down. My sister make a mistake, I'm not going to turn my sister out to the wolves. One of the worst things in the world. Oh, my God. When somebody make a mistake in the church, oh, one of the things, man, I know these be bad for this. A young lady get pregnant in church, they won't stand her up. Oh, come on, man. Why you ain't stand the dude up, too? You understand what I'm saying? Because watch this. What that does, that brings embarrassment. It brings shame. And what that does, it causes her not to want to be around the very people she needs to be around. Are you seeing this? See, so we have to understand the rules of engagement. How are we going to interact with each other? How are we going to treat each other? How are we going to, and for this to happen, I keep talking about this, but we're going to have to let go of pride and ego. Because if we don't let go of pride and ego, we're not going to be able to communicate with each other. We're not going to be able to interact with each other. We're not going to be able to, we're not going to be able to all of us comprehend what is the breadth, depth, and length. Are you seeing this? A few more minutes. In order to have people connectivity, the first thing we must have is a power of communication. The power of communication. We see in Genesis, the 11th chapter, that the power of communication was flawless. They had a game plan. It wasn't the right game plan, but they had a game plan. They understood each other even though they had different languages. Even though they had different languages, they still understood each other. Now, the only way, watch this, the only way that can happen is that God opened up that dimension to happen. Because just like he opened it up, you see he closed it. So watch this. What could possibly happen if all of us just simply say we're going to have a God-centric relationship with him? In other words, God, whatever you want. It's not what I want, it's whatever you want. All of us start having a God-centric relationship. And it's not, jealousy doesn't exist. Envy doesn't exist. Backbiting doesn't exist. Gossiping doesn't exist. You know, we did this one time in the church. We went 21 days without gossiping. You know how difficult that is? I mean, difficult to go to, because everybody knows something about somebody. And that's how people, business gets spread. We got in our church, we got life bearers. And we have master life bearers. One of the first things that we told them is that you can't be a blabbermouth. Because people will come to you with things they're dealing with. They're not going to come to you if they know you're going to put their business in the streets. They're not coming to you. No, they're not going to come to you. No, they're going to come to you. The reason why Jesus was able to be as effective as he was is because he never told nobody that woman was a whore. Jesus said, just go and sin no more. Jesus never told anybody about Nicodemus coming to visit him at night. Jesus wasn't a blabbermouth. Jesus pulled Peter to the side and said, look, I know you're going to deny me three times. Then he came back after denying three times, put to the side again and said, Peter, you love these the more than you love me. I need you to feed my sheep. He did it in front of everybody. So Jesus was able to minister to people, watch this, without killing them. We as a church, we got to learn that. We're the only group of people that kill our wounded soldiers. We kill them. They make a mistake, we kill them. Only God can cause this dimension of the spirit to be opened again, meaning that we have the spirit of understanding. We will not be able to connect with God or any or one another unless this dimension is open. As you see, that's why we read Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18. It says that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him, And I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened so you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Paul prayed prayed that the spirit of revelation will be released and the eyes of the heart will be enlightened. He prayed for their minds to understand and know that the sovereign, listen to this, the sovereign dimensions of God. This is another level of living. I mean, no longer am I trying to just get my needs met. We're on another whole level of God. We're trying to create change in our surroundings. Not in my house, in our surroundings. Wherever we go, we're trying to create change. God, I can't do that unless I'm expressing you. I can't express you if I don't have a God-centric relationship with you. Not a self-centric, but God-centric. Real quickly, the power of strategy. At the Tower of Babel, we realized that the power of strategy was also well executed. Wrong plan, but great strategy. See, we're going to have, that's why apostolic strategy is so important. We have to have a game plan. And we have to realize that the game plan is going to come through somebody. It might not come through you. It might come through somebody else. But just because it ain't come through you, don't mean you can't be effective and cause it to come to pass. See, that's where pride and ego comes in there. Strategy. That's why it must be a God-centric relationship with him rather than self-centric. Because self-centric relationship people, they only won't move when it benefits them. When people gonna see me move. When people see my anointing. That's the only time I'm willing to move. When people see, that's self-centric. But when God-centric, we're ready to give up whatever we have so that God's will can be done, regardless if anybody recognizes or not. And the power of purpose. So it's three things we're going to have when we connect as each other. We're going to have the power of communication, the power of strategy, and the power of purpose. See, there was a statement I wanted to read. There it is, on the power of purpose. There must be an agreed upon place of destiny for the church, or else everyone will set their own goals for what? You see it? I want y'all to see that. That's self-centric. Watch this now. Read it again. Read it again. We'll close right here. There must be an agreed upon place of destiny for the church, or else everyone will set their own goals for personal achievement. There must be an agreed upon finish line, or else everyone will be shifting the goalposts. On page 45. Watch this. We're going to start seeing examples of this throughout the rest of the year. They were willing to sacrifice for the course, and nothing was too difficult to do as each one pushed towards the common goal. Now listen to me. We're going to close with this. This is why I stress so much that you have got to get a hold of the principle of seed, time, and harvest. Because the world system says you can only increase when you work. So therefore, when you try to bring that frame of mind into the kingdom of God, that's where all these ministries begin to start. Because trying to get people's attention so they can send them an offering. I'm being real in here. But if you have a God-centric relationship with him, then you're willing to do whatever God says to do, and because you're sowing seed, you're trusting God that God is going to supply everything you need, want, and desire. So therefore, my work or my performance don't have to be connected to my income. Are you seeing this? See, as long as your income is connected to your performance, you're only going to move when you get paid. When I ask you, after God never meant for you to earn your income by what you do. I can prove it to you. God told Adam and Eve they could have everything they want in the garden. He did not give Adam a job description until the second chapter. Think about it. Go read the first chapter. God told Adam, you look, I'm going to give you all this. Everything, I'm going to give you every herb, 20 acres, I'm going to give you every herb, bearing seed. And he said, but for you, it's going to be me. Me for him to consume. God ain't told him what he was going to do to the second chapter. He said, I need you to dress and keep the garden. So his income wasn't tied to his performance. Are you seeing this? They were willing to sacrifice for the cause, and nothing was too difficult to do as each one pushed towards the common goal. They stood together and refused to scatter abroad. They labored from all angles and moved toward achieving their assignment. So there's, watch this. There must be the power of communication. In other words, they're not going to be able to communicate with each other in the natural. We're going to have to communicate with each other in the supernatural. What I mean? Do I mean that we're going to have to talk another language? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is by us having a God-centered relationship with him, we come together. We know you're trying to fulfill God's will. I'm trying to fulfill God's will. So we're together trying to fulfill God's will. So we're not getting offended at each other. We understand we have different personalities, we have different strengths, we have different weaknesses, but we all here for the same thing. So you can't offend me, because I know I trust you. You here to fulfill the will of God. So if you do something and you don't do it quite right, I ain't going to jump on you. I ain't going to kill you. Because I know you're on you trying to do what God asked you to do. Are you seeing this? So it's the power of communication, power of strategy, and the power of purpose. You're seeing this. Power communication, power strategy, and what's the last one? Power of purpose. In other words, there must be a common purpose. It can't. What that common purpose is, whatever God says. You know a great example of the power of purpose? When God told Abram, tell him, put the blood over the door mantle, the lintel, the doorpost. I would have had some of them in there saying, man, this don't make no sense. I ain't doing this. But whenever they had a purpose, when they come together, they realized we better listen to this man. Now, they didn't get that from God directly. They got it through Moses. Are you seeing this? So we have to have the power of communication. This is very important. Power of communication, power of strategy, and the power of purpose. Next week, we're going to have one more class next week, and then our exams will be November, the first week of November, I think is. What is it? The 4th and the 5th. I moved them. They're supposed to be this week, but I moved them 2 weeks because we're only going to have one class in between, all right? So don't freak out if you don't see no exams. They're not this week, all right? It's going to be when? November the 4th, 4th and the 5th. And, of course, they open on November 4th and the 5th, and they'll be open for a week, all right? So we have class next week. You got class tomorrow. You got class next Monday and next Tuesday, all right? Got me? So next week we'll focus on, and you can read it ahead of time, chapter 6, the power of covenant. This is going to be a very good chapter, the power of covenant. I'll see y'all next week.